Easy Sports Talk Show podcast with Ed Smith and Javon Adams. My name is Javon Adams. You can call me Jay or Jay Love. We do this thing three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And next to me is a man who not only played professional baseball, but he also played in the National Football League for that first Super Bowl bound team for the Atlanta Falcons. He is an author. He is a motivational speaker. He likes to get down on that Traeger grill. None other than Ed Smith. What is good, my brother?
Hey, man, regular season finally kicked off last night after that 82-game preseason, bro. We got some regular season basketball. Got some defense played, everything, man.
Exactly. If nothing else, my man Ed is true to form. He is unwavering in his opinion on what regular seasons mean or do not mean when it comes to sports, in particular basketball, and then also baseball as well.
Yeah, no, it was actually, you know, it's funny because I said to my son while we were watching last night, specifically the Lakers game, I was like, this is what basketball should look like right here. It was actually defense being played, intensity. Every shot wasn't a three-pointer with, you know, there were actually people going after rebounds. I was like, yeah, okay, I can watch this.
Yeah, so let's get to this a little bit. So we're going to cover the two games, the two playing games from the Western Conference yesterday. So we had the 7-8 game with the Lakers and the Pelicans. So that one was an interesting game because the Lakers were victorious. So they're going to end up playing the Nuggets, the number 2 seed. They're playing the Nuggets. So what was interesting to me is the Lakers come out, they're playing well in the first quarter. They were down by what I want to say about 6 points in the first quarter. Then the second quarter, they really started to establish themselves and they were doing some really good things. But then the Pelicans come back and Zion Williamson, who I'm sure we'll talk about here in this part of the show, he was dominating, 40 points, dominating on the boards. And then something happened. Zion gets hurt. With 3 minutes and some odd seconds left in the fourth quarter, the Pelicans are still very close. I mean, it was a close game because he was trying to make a move, ended up going, the Lakers call a timeout, goes over to the bench. You could, the replays, when they were replaying on television, they were saying, it looks like something, Zion tweaked something with his left leg, I think it was. And so the next thing you know, you see him taking his towel and throwing it down in frustration and walking off the court, going towards the locker room. And they got to play this next game. Cause now they got to play the 8-9 to see who's going to win out. They're going to end up playing the Sacramento Kings. But in watching that in real time, he seemed to be really frustrated. So I guess that's a better thing as opposed to walking out with your head down and being a little bit dejected, but he seemed really frustrated. But he was balling out. They needed him. They could have won that game if it wasn't for that injury with Zion.
Well, it's a contrast in seasons for him. This is the first time, if I'm not mistaken, I think he played 70-plus games this season.
Yeah,
71 games. Then he gets hurt in the playoffs instead of getting hurt early in the season, not even being able to be a factor. And, you know, he was balling, like you said. And as soon as he went down, it was like, oh, you hate to see that. I haven't heard anything yet as far as, you know, what the injury was. Problem is, bro, it's a quick turnaround. They go back at it tomorrow for the right to see who gets into the actual playoffs. And then from there, you know, no rest for the weary. The weekend comes and you start a 7-game series against the Oklahoma City Thunder. So, you know, this is going to be a interesting 24 or 48 hours for Zion and that organization. And, you know, you hate to see it happen because, like I said, he was playing well and we started to see what he could be, you know, and, you know, the timing just stinks. That's, you know, to get all the way through the season and hurt it in that fashion late in the game like that.
I do want to get down to some of the play from I was listening on locally 98.7 this morning, and there was one player from the Pelicans that really didn't show up, and we'll get into him in a second. And some of the, just look at some of the numbers from some of the Lakers, but is this one of those things where he's going to, let's say he knows, let's say whenever they get the results from whatever they're doing today, the imaging, that his hamstring, let's say you really can't play. Does he have to do a Willis Reed and at least try to make it look good to come out there? And the reason I say this is because the narrative started to change for him after the All-Star break, because he started to really, it's almost as if he played himself into shape, and he was really, I guess, really showing consistent flashes of that high ceiling of his high level of potential. So then if you have one of these things where you're not available again for a playoff game, does that mean that could all of that goodwill, all of the momentum that he has, all of the things that are going on positively, probably in his mind, all that stuff goes away. But if you at least come out and you try a little bit, you don't go 100%. If you know that you're injured, so you go out and you try to make it look good. And then if you have to walk off, almost like Anthony Davis did a few years ago when he was playing, I think it was the Suns, and he just couldn't do it, and so he walked off. And so at least you give him a little bit of credit that way. Am I putting way too much on it, or is that something that might go through the mind of an athlete in situations like this?
It all depends on what the injury is, and there's certain things you can and cannot do. Say if he tweaked an ankle. We know ankle is, you know, structurally it's, you know, probably not going to be that bad. You know, if you go out there and you try to play through it, you know, maybe you turn it into a high ankle sprain or something like that. But there's no chance to really, you know, for the most part, you know, you can play through an ankle. If it's a hamstring or something like that, one of those really bad ones, or a groin or something like that, and you go out there and you really pop it, or you overcompensate and mess up an Achilles, you know, because what happens, you favor this and this goes. So, you know, there's only and here's the thing, Jay, every athlete knows their body. I remember having injuries where I knew the second it happened, I was like, and you know, as bad as I was, it was like, damn, that hurt. But I know what that is. Man, that's at least 2-3 weeks. Mm. Or I remember, you know, an ankle or something. It's like, that hurts, but I can play through this. I can figure this one out. But so the second you hurt something, you, as an athlete, you know exactly what it is for the most part. You cross your fingers and you hope and you pray. I remember the time I blew out my MCL, you know, totally ruptured. And what happened, I felt the pop. I heard the pop. But the problem was, like, that night, because I finished the game, that night, you know, I was like, you know, I can actually walk, so maybe it's not that bad. They got me to the MRI the next day, and boom, doctor's like, oh, yeah, that's totally ruptured. You know, you're done, you know. So even though I was holding out hope, I knew what I had done. So like I said, every athlete, and then like I said, it's, from there, it's just, you know, it's pain tolerance, it's what the injury is. And then sometimes as an athlete, doctors or coaches or team, they'll protect you from yourself. They'll shut you down if they're looking at something and the doctor says, nah, if you go out there on that could be pretty, you know, that then the decision is, well, this is our franchise guy. You can cry all you want and try to get, nah, we can't risk that. So there's all kind of scenarios that are going to play out. We'll just have to see what it is and, you know, who makes the final decision. Now, if it's something he can play through, we'll, you know, like I said, that's when you get those Will Street moments, because, you know, they say, hey, you know, you can give it a try. And, you know, that's when you find out what, you know, how gritty a guy is. Because there's some guys, you know, the second they get a tweak, it's like, well, he down. You know, that's it. We'll see him in a couple weeks, next year, whatever it is.
And that's what I'm saying, because a couple seasons ago, even maybe last season, that might have been Zion and say, well, I guess they say I can't go, so I can't go. No, they said that you can go if you want to. Well, I mean, what they meant was.
Like I said, the term, we'll find out through the terminology, and then it's a play on words, who's talking, whether, you know, like the organization is saying what the player is saying, and then we have to decipher, and we know how to decipher. He don't want to go out there.
that's true. So let's get into a couple of the stats of the game. Anthony Davis played well, 15 rebounds, 20 points. Hachimura, we need my dude. I say that because people listening and watching, I'm a Laker fan. LeBron James with 23, 6 for 20. So you said putting up 20 shots, 6 for 20. We need a little bit more efficiency from LeBron. D'Angelo Russell, 21 points. Had 6 assists, I want to say. So not bad in terms of what we need more from the bench, though. But, you know, pretty much, I mean, this is kind of what we've been getting all season. But the one I mentioned, one of the players that was kind of non-existent, because Zion was 17 for 27, 40 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists. But Ingram, You know, and I'm the dude you've heard me say multiple times, man. I still wish we had Brandon Ingram. Well, I wouldn't have wanted him last night because he was 4 for 12 with 11 points. And so you need, that's one of the things that was even said on the radio today, just in terms of just reflecting upon the game. That's when you're supposed to step up, dog. If you might not need to be the number one, but you're good enough to be able to take over in moments like this, to be able to show why you were such a high draft pick and why you're so highly regarded in the league.
Yeah, between Ingram and I also thought McCollum played. He sure picked a bad time to come up.
Yeah.
As short as he did as well, you know.
True.
Zion needed a Robin last night, and neither he nor Ingram stepped up to give him anything on the other side. But you know, here's where legends are made, and you know, it's gonna be interesting to see if they can bounce back. You know, and I actually like the play-in scenario. Oh man,
do you?
I actually, you know, a couple years ago I did not like this whole thing, but I actually like the play-in scenario. It gave it some flavor down the stretch. He was jockeying for that 7 and 8 and 9 and 10. Who was trying to stay out of that? Our sons here just barely escaped and landed in the sixth. And that happened with some help in the last night, you know, with Pelicans losing and them winning. And so, I think it gives a little flavor to the whole thing. It's not a one-and-done thing like baseball did a few years ago, playing 162 games, then you get one game to see if you get into the playoffs. This is actually pretty good, pretty cool in terms of giving everybody a chance, you know, the last four teams a chance. So it's a nice little start to the regular season.
So he's Ed Smith. I'm Javon Adams. We do this thing three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Make sure you tell a friend. You can go to easysportstalk.com. You can also please subscribe to the YouTube channel. That's The Easy Sports Talk Show. So let's get into the second game. So that was the Sacramento Kings playing the Golden State Warriors, the 9-10 matchup. The Warriors fell. The Kings put it to them. It was close. It was a little bit. It was touch and go for a little bit there. But then towards that, looking at the box score here or in that recap, it was trying to look at the, yeah, so going, the Kings pull really kind of started to pull away in the second half. So 37-26 in terms of the quarter points, Kings for Warriors, and then in the fourth quarter, 27-18. And so really kind of taking it to them. And this is one of those things we talk about, somebody who needed a Batman to their Robin. I mean, Steph Curry, I mean, he needs some help. And you know who didn't give him no help? Klay. He was 0 for 10. And this is one of those things. It's funny because in certain situations, the loser gets more pub than the winner does. So we talk about, so the Lakers, of course, that's one of the things. You kind of talk about the Lakers. Yeah, you talk about Zion a little bit. But even though you say, hey, good job, Kings, but then you immediately shift to what's going on with the Warriors and what are they going to do to, whether you call it rebuild, tear down, whatever the term is that you want to use. But it doesn't seem like Klay can be a part of that, especially if you an 0 for 10 Klay in a situation where it was a win or go home scenario, and he comes up 0 for 10, and plus he has a high price tag that comes along with him, and he's going to be a free agent in the season. But when you were watching this game, what were you seeing? It just seemed that the Kings just a little faster, just a little bit younger, just a little bit hungry. Hungry, I think, is sometimes can be a little bit overrated. But what did you see when you were watching the game?
You watch those nature shows like I do, you know, you got the old lion out there and you got the young lion, and they're both vying for the pride, right? And man, this is one of those situations, boy, where young lion, they nipped at the old one and chased him off, bruh. And all you see is the old lion just, you know, you see the scene where they're walking off or trotting off, looking over their shoulder, and that's it right there. You know, and you know, this is one of those situations, man, where the GM, and I'm not good with names sometimes, but
Dunleavy is a GM for
Dunleavy.
Oh yeah, yeah, no, I got you. Yeah,
I'm talking about the one who left,
because
he knew these type of decisions were coming, and he didn't want to be any part of it. And I heard already with Klay, I mean with Steph, he already made the comment, I can't see a future without my other three, the big three, meaning us three playing together. He's already stated, Draymond, hey, we've taken care of them, you know, basically by winning championships. I don't see any reason why they shouldn't take care of us now.
And it don't work like that, man. It don't work like that.
That's not good business, bro. You can't live on what you used to do. This is when someone has to make that hard decision. It's time for us to move on. Clay, 0 for 10 in a playoff game or play in to get in. It's time for you. First off, we have to look at the overall situation, bro. Why are we in a play-in situation? If we got the talent we're supposed to have. And the reason is because, like you said, you got a lot of young lions out there right now, and we can't keep up. And, you know, we're sitting at a 10 spot, and you got, you know, you think about it, you just got beat by Sacramento, but you got Oklahoma City, Denver. You run down the list of West Conference teams that are just so much better than us because they're younger than us. It's time for us to make a change. And for them, you know, now who's supposed to, like, if you're a GM and you wake up this morning and you hear Steph talking, you hear Draymond talking, what are you supposed to do? I mean, they're already trying to make the decision for you. Now, you got to step up and do your job. You know, hey, we got to get something for Clay, or we got to let Clay go be Clay somewhere else, because it's time for us to move on to the next chapter of the book. And it's going to be tough for them because, like I said, everybody's already putting their foot in the ground, and we need to do this, and we need to run this back. And, man, that's how dynasties overstay their welcome, and they turn in. We start looking back like, man, the last couple of years of that, that was like, you know, even like with San Antonio. Look at where they are, the San Antonio Spurs. Look where they are. They waited too long to, you know, and I know they got lucky in the beginning with getting Duncan and teaming them with the Admiral and that, but they turned that into a 20-year run. But by the time you got to the end of it, they had no pieces ready to go. They had Kawhi, but he stepped off. But like I said, we're looking at the Warriors, and I'm sad. It's going to be sad to see them in a few years if they stay on this path, because Curry can't keep this up. He even needs somebody to come help take some of the load off him. Draymond's not a scorer. He's kind of a defensive piece. And then, like I said, if you allow Clay to sit out there and go 0 for 10, a one-trick pony, meaning he can't do anything other than hit the three when he is playing well. But even right now, like I said, you can't go 0 for 10 and expect this to work. And it's going to be it's like watching, you know, the decision has to be made. In those nature things we watch, you know, does the old line go away somewhere and just, you know, die peacefully out there in the field somewhere? Or is he killed by the young lion who's taking over, you know? And right now, it looks like he's going to turn into prey right now, because it looked pretty bad last night. And, you know, this is just it's not going to be a happy ending for them if they stay on this course.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And here's one of and you would think, when he's in his private moments, maybe when he's talking to his wife, that is saying something along the lines of, you know, those are my boys, but somebody got to go, and it ain't gonna be me, but somebody got to go. And so you have to say those things publicly as, oh, I want to run it back. But if you run it back, you look and saying, I really about to run it back? No, I didn't mean it. You know, I just had to say that because they was listening. But you have to know. You have to know if you Clay. Yes, you know. It means either taking a supreme discount, or it means going someplace else. And if you love the Bay that much, if you love the organization that much, and I was gonna say, and you probably agree with me on this, organizations don't love you back. The fans hopefully do, and organizations may, after you've retired, say, come on back and rep now, because now it's a totally different scenario. It's a different part of our relationship. But when it comes to trying to win, if you are about winning championships, you're not just trying to have this, like, as you mentioned, the slow death march until you decide to retire. No. Sometimes, as you mentioned, we got to make these tough decisions.
Great organizations appreciate what you've done for them in the past, but realize moving forward, we have to make changes if we're going to continue to stay where, you know, where our goals are. If you're an organization that's happy with just trying to make the playoffs, then so be it. But if you're an organization that's been spoiled by winning four titles, and you know what it's like to be there, and you know what it takes to get there, you have to make those tough decisions, man. And this is the first time for the Warriors, because obviously they've gotten to this point with that core three. And this is the first time where real question is, hey, can we win with those guys? Can we win with this group right here, meaning the core? And the answer now is flat out no. Not even
the thing that messed them up, the thing that makes them say, well, we did it before, was because when they were pretty much being counted out a couple years ago, then they won that championship. So that was unexpected. Mm-hmm. But that's yesterday's price is not today's price. And in that sense, I mean, you are X amount of years older than that. We see the decline in not only in Klay and in Draymond. So there, tough decisions have to be made.
Yeah. And the other thing, it's tough, man, especially, I wasn't there. I wasn't a guy who was a franchise guy. But I remember there were times I had to leave somewhere after my 2 years in Atlanta. I was like, man, I got to go, And that was sad. I can only imagine you've been there, you've been a staple, and you've been, you've been a part of the franchise, winning four titles and, Splash Brothers and celebrating, and now you got to go somewhere else and do it, and that's primarily what the message is going to be from whoever has to make that, Dunleavy, you got to go in there, you got to earn your money. And that's, like I said, this is the time when you cannot, as a GM, you just got to go in there and you got to do what you got to do. And we'll see if we find that after the dust settles and we hear Klay Thompson just signed, such and such extension, it's going to be like, okay, they made a decision.
You made your decision. Because the tougher thing is, the easy thing is to just stay and say, well, we respect them. They've done so much. Yeah. The tougher thing as a GM is to say, now I have to roll up my sleeves and I have to get going with in terms of evaluation, in terms of draft talent, and making moves in terms of free agency or making trades to be able to build this team up to get it back to now what is an expectation for this fan base. Because before, they weren't tripping about, well, we just want to be exciting. Once you win that first one, they say, oh, that's cool. You win the second one, then I think all bets are off. Now that's an expectation for the fan base because there are a lot of people that are going to be fans that have jumped onto the bandwagon, and that's what they're used to.
Yeah.
Cool.
Like I said, we saw the last of that one for sure.
Indeed. So that is Ed Smith. I am Javon Adams. Again, we do it three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Tell a friend to tell a friend about what we have going on here. You can go to ezsportstalk.com, ezsportstalk.com. You can also encourage you and ask you to subscribe to the YouTube page. It's at the Easy Sports Talk Show, at the Easy Sports Talk Show. And of course, wherever you find your podcast, make sure you like, subscribe, share, and all that good stuff. And as we always like to say around this time, you can.